Chapter 11. Lilith. Lilith tried to smile as she approached the house of Asmodeus. It had felt good to be back in Lust after so long away, but even as she enjoyed the scent of sweet perfume, thick, heady musk and pheromones, and the warm tingle of desire that the very air left on her skin, the fact that she was here on the order of those prudes in heaven rankled her. It was almost palpable, like an itch in the back of her head, that someone else, someone of heaven, most galling of all, would order her to do anything. It went against everything the Archtemptress stood for. Her whole life, all the thousands of years of independence and debaucherous excess, she had lived in opposition to the idea that anyone would be allowed to tell her what to do ever again. So naturally, she'd spent a week after her meeting with the Archangel of War in drug-fueled orgy after drug-fueled orgy, going to the deepest pits of lust, engaging in the vilest acts of hedonism she could find here. It was during this debauched bender of sorts that she'd heard that Asmodeus, Leviathan, and Beelzebub would be meeting at one of his clubs in the center of Lust tonight. Killing two birds with one stone was good, so, naturally, three was even better. And so she decided to finally do as she'd been asked. Even though she only did so with treacherous motives, and even under threat of Michael's wrath, she'd had to physically force herself to get back on task, so to speak. Such was the extremity of her unwillingness to follow orders, for no more reason than that someone had dared to give her any in the first place. She had been that way since the day she'd met Lucifer and decided that she wanted him, shortly after she decided that she didn't want Adam. She'd been so young then, so new to experience and desire. It had been fun to explore herself, especially with an angel of all beings, a divine soul superior to her in every way, and yet enslaved to her will through weight of his own passion. To play with Lucifer had always been the most amusing of games, to indulge in how he would tirelessly fulfill her every whim. He'd been the perfect man for her, really. One who worshipped everything she was, and had the power to placate every urge and indulge every vice she ever felt. She had enjoyed the fallen seraphim quite a lot, in her own way. Lilith even now didn't exactly know if what she'd felt for him was love. She certainly enjoyed how Lucifer would always fawn over her, the way he'd melted with adoration when they found that she carried Charlie within her, the effortlessness of simply asking her, smitten for something, whether it was breakfast in bed or mind-blowing sex for days on end, for any trinket she imagined, any food or drink she wanted for, and everything else in between, he would eagerly provide it for her, over and over, without any complaint. As she stepped down the pathway towards Asmodeus's club, she let the memories of the past go, and reminded herself why she was here. While the tyrants of heaven had made her come here and do as they wanted to subdue the circles, they had no way of knowing how she would do so. They merely demanded she keep them occupied and out of the way, and Lilith believed she could accomplish that quite easily. But why stop there? Why not consolidate and command while she was at it? Every circle's prince was a force to be reckoned with in their own right, and they each could serve her interests and ambitions in uniquely useful ways. They had always respected Lucifer more than her, it was true, but her relationships with most had been quite congenial. Asmodeus especially, she assumed, would be the easiest. Their similar philosophies were naturally quite close to one another, and with the shared worship of hedonism, the three-headed paragon of lust had found in her a kindred spirit, and vice versa. Lilith felt a nostalgic thrill as she approached, and realized the club was playing a remix of one of her songs on the sound system, the heavy beat of background bass adding an undertone of energy to her recorded words, making the listener feel an insistent urge to writhe and dance and gyrate. Its effects were already becoming visible on the hellborn in line at the club, some simply twisting gently to the beat, others dancing in place, blushing and desperate for sexual contact. Many were already groping each other. Lilith giggled to herself as she approached the bouncer at the club front door. He was staring down into his clipboard and hadn't noticed her yet. Lilith waited politely, savoring this moment of being treated as just another demon.
"Sorry, ma'am, we're at capacity. You'll have to wait to..."
The demon was a broad-shouldered and remarkably tall imp male with a thick mustache and mismatched curling horns. His thick, strongman frame shuddered as she put a hand on his cheek, letting the natural, seductive glamour of her skin touching his do its work. The bouncer's eyes went glassy, and he got a dopey, almost drunk smile on his face as the mother of sin hissed in his ear. "Oh, sweetie, I'm always on the list."
"Queen Lilith, your majesty, I..."
She stepped past him, savoring the feeling of his eyes staring longingly at her back as the rest of the line outside the club began to protest with even more fervor about being denied entry. The bright flashing lights, the thick scent of arousal and overheating bodies, and pulsating beat to the music that she could feel in her bones made Lilith feel at home. She could sense the buzz of amphetamine-induced euphoria all around her, the sweet odor of pheromones and desire, the madcap hedonism allowed to flourish like a weed in a garden. Debauchery, excess, libertine sexuality, and indulgence for indulgence's sake. The experience of it felt like ice water splashing across her face, after the 7 dull years she'd spent in heaven, being smothered by its stuffiness and propriety. How anyone could ever spend eternity there, Lilith would never understand. She couldn't so much as have a little S&M party without some stuffy angel scolding her and risking a buzzkill visit from joyless exorcists or faith sworn. Sure, it was pretty and quiet, and it was fun to finally see it after so long being denied, but after spending as long as she had there, Lilith was happy to be home. As far as she was concerned, it was indeed as her dearly departed husband had often said. Better to reign below than to serve above. She pressed through the crowd of individuals cheering and partying, looking around the massive club room. It was thick with hellborn of all shapes and sizes, some wearing tight outfits that hugged every curve, some skimpy little pieces that barely covered anything. A few were even completely naked. They were almost all dancing and singing along, badly, to the music, which had switched from one of Lilith's tracks to some bass-driven remix of a more modern pop song. As she looked around, she realized that there were also many who pressed into corners and against walls, openly groping or even having sex in front of everyone. Lilith smiled, thinking to herself that this was her kind of party. A shame she had business at the moment. The night was still young. She'd have to see what kind of fun she could get into later. In the back of the room on a large stage, surrounded by pyrotechnical displays and flashing rainbow strobe lights, there was the DJ's booth, where a multi-limbed, bug-shaped hellborn ran several records and mixes at once, expertly priming the music to arouse desire and elicit decadence in all who heard it. To the far right side, there was a fully stocked bar being run by imps in skimpy outfits, and to the far left, a hallway marked with a sign that read, "Private Sex Rooms," and a staircase to the VIP portion of the club, a balcony that overlooked the main dance floor through one-way glass, where a more subdued, intimate bar and a restaurant of sorts was located. She had been to it many times with Lucifer in the centuries before Charlie had been born. It was an invitation-only part of the club, reserved exclusively for Asmodeus's best friends. With easy grace, Lilith sauntered through the crowds, rubbing shoulders, quite literally, with the horny, impaired, impulsive masses. Occasionally, she would cop a feel off of a breast or press the palm of her hand into the bulge of some lucky demon's pants, savoring the look of naked desire and shock that they gave her when they looked up and into her eyes. By the time she'd crossed the room, the Mother of Sin had a number of admirers at her back, staring with longing at her, yet not daring to touch without her permission. The second bouncer, a lean, imposing-looking dealmaker who stood a head above her with a scarred top fin, stared into her breasts for long enough to make Lilith smirk before stammering out a greeting.
Right through here, Your Majesty,
he said, hurriedly stepping aside, this one mentioning a word of condolence regarding her recent widowing that the first sinner ignored, utterly. She walked up the stairs, smirking and waving playfully at the club patrons who stared after her, some impotently lifting their arms to reach out to Lilith in desperation for her touch. She smirked, reveling in the unique reaction she fostered in nearly all who laid eyes on her. Her aura of wicked seduction let her mystify and beguile any and all with a simple flick of her hair or suggestive wink. Men and women, young and old, nobody could resist her charms, save only the most powerful and strong-willed of beings. Lilith went up the stairs into the darkly lit private room. Booths and high-backed, cushioned chairs were set carefully around intimate tables where candles flickered. The heavy pumping club beats were now muffled, replaced by a soft and classy background of smooth, relaxing, jazzy notes. Stunningly beautiful hellborn waiters and waitresses walked across the polished marble floor, every one naked besides shoes, neck collar, and tie. The sigil of Asmodeus was carefully carved into the flat, mirror-polished obsidian floor, done in golden calligraphy. Looking across the room, Lilith spied Asmodeus almost instantly, sitting at a table with Leviathan and Beelzebub, apparently in a contentious discussion. Lilith plucked a flute of champagne off a server's tray and took a sip as she approached the table, completely ignoring the fact that those drinks were not actually free.
"And it hasn't even been a month since Lucifer's death. I really don't think it's that big of a deal to wait and see where the cards fall. If any of us act rashly, we put a target on our back for everyone else. Besides, the circle of lust is still my responsibility. I can't sideline everything to go play Kingmaker."
The Prince of Lust was explaining to Leviathan as Beelzebub flipped through her phone. He was broadly built, a fire-given form, with three demonic heads, one of a bull, one of a ram, and his center head, which was vaguely human and bore a very tall top hat. He was tightly fitted into a red, purple-blue, and white-striped suit. Powerful, black-furred, goat-like legs completed his large, rather imposing frame. Ozzy's large and powerful physique belied his amiable nature as one of the most laid-back of the princes. His grasping brother, however, had somewhat the opposite reputation. The fishy Prince of Envy was speaking with urgency, his bright purple eyes flashing with passion, his black and blue-green hair falling into his face before he thrust it back into position. He had a wide, needle-toothed mouth that seemed to always be on the edge of scowling, a neck lined with gills and webbed feet and hands. The greater demon was wearing a navy blue overcoat that seemed just a bit too big for him, a blue-gray undershirt, and tight black pants that accentuated his skinny, almost snake-like appearance. Lilith remembered him well enough, even though Lucifer barely ever spoke of him.
"Asmodeus, for the love of all that is unholy, we must act, and we must act now," he was saying. "Nobody will miss Lucifer more than I do, but someone must take the helm soon, or it will all fall to ruin. If the throne is to be taken, I will need support. I don't trust Satan to not take the throne himself, and Belphegor is, as ever, loath to bestir herself for any reason."
"What about Mammon?"
Ozzy asked with a raised eyebrow.
"He wouldn't even take audience with me. The events of the extermination disrupted a multitude of suppliers for his goods, and he won't think of anything until he gets the cash flowing again."
Leviathan had always been very supportive and kind to Lucifer, from what her late husband had told her, but he'd also said that it hadn't felt genuine. The Prince of Pride had always worried that Leviathan wanted to be where Lucifer was. He'd suspected that his brother in exile, though Leviathan would have never been bold enough to admit it, wanted to be king. Probably once upon a time, Leviathan had expected his support and faithful loyalty to be rewarded by being named heir to the throne. Lilith sipped her champagne as she remembered the tortured, forced smile and congratulations he'd spit through gritted teeth when Lucifer had brought her before him once during a visit to Envy. They'd come to announce his Lilith's pregnancy, and Lucifer had gone on and on to his faithful friend with excited, oblivious enthusiasm. Leviathan had listened, and nodded, and wished them well, but the smile never made it to his eyes, and Lilith could see the naked, loathing injustice that radiated off Leviathan that Lucifer chose not to notice. She knew the rage of a desire denied all too well. His jealous seething had been as plain to her as looking in a mirror. She never told Lucifer, though. Lilith found it far more amusing to watch his impotent rage quietly. It was simply another little piece of passive entertainment.
I? What do you mean, I? Like, what the fuck are you talking about, Levi? Who said you got to be in charge? Isn't Lucy Lou's little girl the new Queen of Pride or whatever?
Beelzebub asked, looking suspiciously at her power-seeking brother. Her pale yellow fur seemed neon bright in the club's low light, her pink and blue hair and tail gently shimmering and twisting, as if multicolored flames danced in them, the colors all the more brilliant in the darkness. She was possessed of a roughly humanoid shape, like most demons, but made with the features of a fennec fox and possessing an extra pair of arms. She wore something light and rather skimpy as usual, a tight crop top and skin-tight shorts hugging a girlish, toned body that one wouldn't initially expect of the Princess of Gluttony. Lilith felt a small smile pull at the corner of her lips at the sight of Bee. They'd always gotten on quite well over the years. She and Lucifer had enjoyed many a rave or block party in her tropical domain, drinking and drugging and fucking for days at a time in the years before Charlie was born. Every time she saw Bee, it made Lilith remember happy times, when every day with Lucifer had felt exciting and new. Those days were long gone, but it always made the Sin Mother feel warm and nostalgic when she remembered them.
The Morningstar girl is young, Leviathan clarified with visible difficulty, clenching his teeth in irritation at the mention of Charlie. I know Lucifer meant for the best with her. He probably expected to have far more time to mold her into a ruler, but now he is gone. I'm sure being Princess of the Circle of Pride would be all well and good, but for whoever leads us next, we need real
The fishy demon trailed off as Lilith approached, taking a chair from a nearby table and slipping into it fluidly, as if she'd been invited to this meeting like any of them. She took a sip from the champagne and silently enjoyed their shocked expressions.
Hello, boys.
Asmodeus blinked, staring at her as if he didn't quite believe she was really there.
Lilith? Where? How? What the fuck are you doing here?
He stammered. Leviathan looked her over with suspicion and echoed his brother's question, forgetting his heated discussion with Asmodeus.
Yes, what are you doing here? Nobody has seen you in... has it been 7 years now? What could you...
Holy fucking shit, Lily! Oh my god, I missed you, girl!
Beelzebub cut her brother's shocked questions off as she leaned over and hugged Lilith close, grinning ear to ear, laughing with delight to see her again. Lilith sighed, slipping the mask of the grieving widow into place as she hugged her friend back with a tired smile, finishing her drink before nuzzling her head into the demon fox's fuzzy shoulder with an almost sisterly affection. Over the thousands of years she had been with Lucifer, she'd learned to think of the other rulers of the circles as family. They were simply her husband's brothers and sisters to her. Sometimes, usually only at Lilith's urging and only on special occasions, they had invited one of the Sins over for a little intimate affection. She'd come to know them all very closely. The relationship she shared with Lucifer was anathema to one of mortal inclination, but for a woman as lusty as Lilith, variety in sensations mattered as much as the spark of spiritual power that gave her life.
It's so good to see you again, too, B. I'm so, so sorry for leaving for so long and never saying anything. You see,
she began, addressing the whole table.
Lucifer and I were separated. There was some personal business a while ago that I don't want to talk about between us. We fought, and it was messy. At the end of the day, we didn't trust each other the way we had. I meant to go back to him, but...
She trailed off, willing tears to her eyes and taking in a shaky breath. Asmodeus was all comfort, reaching out to take one hand in his large, warm hands, as B held her other. Concern and affection plain on her face, eyes filling with sympathetic loss. Leviathan said nothing, his expression conveying plain suspicion with Lilith's plaintive attitude. He'd never truly liked her, after all, and to have her here, interrupting his no doubt carefully calculated meeting and argument to put himself on the throne, was just another perceived slight for him to seethe over.
"Oh, honey, I can't imagine what you're going through,"
the smoldering demon prince of lust said.
If there's anything I can do,"
B continued, but Lilith shook her head, smiling sadly.
"Oh, Ozzy, B, that's very kind. I'm grateful to have such kind friends. I'm fine, really. But I appreciate it more than you can know."
Lilith gave them a thankful look, drawing on what love she had for Lucifer to make her reaction genuine. She had cared about him after a fashion, at least somewhat. Maybe early on, she really had loved him with every part of her, him and him alone. Though it had been so many years and so many debaucheries ago, she couldn't really be sure. He'd been sweet enough, and her fallen angel never did anything wrong. But as the decades turned to centuries and centuries to millennia, he became boring. He was easy and unchallenging, never pressing her or preventing her from doing as she wanted, always being a good little trophy husband. At least, he was until the business with Alistair. That had driven a rift between them. Lucifer had put his foot down, told her that he thought she was lying to him. It had infuriated her, not only that he didn't let her do as she wanted, but also because he'd been right. How dare he figure out what had been going on? How dare he question her whims? If she hadn't bent to the divine powers of the universe itself, who was he to tell her what to do?
Lilith, please, just tell me the truth.
Those were the words he spoke to her that day 7 years ago. His voice advertising his pain, the depth of her betrayal, how deeply she had hurt him. And Lilith found it disgusting. He'd actually had tears in his eyes. He was going to cry over her having a little fun? Really? He'd turned a blind eye to her sadomasochistic desires, never speaking to anyone about the impish servants who went missing sometimes at their mansion when her darker impulses took over. He would indulge her perversions and found ways to enjoy everything they did together. But he couldn't even stand the mere thought of her having a little fun out of wedlock just because she hadn't bothered to include him? So what? It's not like Alistair had been any more than a pet to be toyed with. As far as Lilith was concerned, the little games she'd played with Alistair were no different than pleasuring herself with a dildo. That's all Alistair had been to her. A useful pawn that she had decided to use as a sex toy. If he'd been okay with swinging with his pseudo-siblings, how could he begrudge her a little sinner sex slave? He didn't care or ask about why she had been directing him to kill powerful overlords, what she could possibly have to gain from it. Lucifer didn't seem to consider any of that. After Alistair had opened up about her perceived betrayal. No matter. It was all behind her now. The path ahead would be treacherous, the pitfalls many. But Lilith was up to the challenge. A waiter came by the table and asked if anyone needed more drinks. A tight-bodied little hellhound girl with a chihuahua's features. She was very short, barely over 5 feet tall, and her breasts were small and girly, contrasting her thick thighs.
The little slit between her legs was glistening as she looked at Lilith with longing. Orders were made, and as the diminutive, sexy little demon dog turned and walked away, Lilith had to resist the urge to pinch her tight bubble butt. There would be time enough for that later, she reminded herself, when she wasn't playing the grieving widow.
Lily, sweetie, what do you, like, think we should do about this? I mean, Lucifer was your hubby. What do you think he'd want?
Beelzebub asked, finally drawing Lilith out of her thoughts. She smiled. Heaven wanted to control her? Fine. She'd keep the other princes out of her daughter's hair for now, but not forever.
Heaven thinks they can do whatever they want, she said softly. That they can step on us with impunity, and not one denizen of hell will stop them.
Bee looked down, frowning in thought at the Sin Mother's words as Leviathan and Asmodeus both shifted awkwardly.
They look down on us. They think we're spineless and weak, and that we'll take this insult lying down as my dear, dear ex and his little harem of sycophantic whores made so blatantly clear when he killed my husband. Adam thinks that he's proven his superiority. The fool thinks this is all over. That we won't answer this, she continued.
Lilith put on a grimace of rage, but beneath it, she felt a predatory grin that she had to force down. She had never even considered the possibilities of power and experience she could have in Lucifer's place until recently. Now, with him gone, a whole new avenue of experience and power was hers. The path to wield absolute dominion over all of hell was open to her. All she needed to do was reach out and seize it.
What are you suggesting?
Asmodeus asked, worriedly glancing to Leviathan. The needle-toothed Prince of Envy raised an eyebrow, smiling nervously.
If I didn't know any better, it almost sounds as if you want to declare war, Lilith said.
Huh?
Bee had been relaxed until that point, but her normally easy, comfortable, carefree expression suddenly looked somewhat panicked. The war in heaven had been hard on them all, but Bee especially had taken the loss hard. The light and excitement and carefree joy of heaven had always been something she missed. Some of the scars that the princess bore from all those years past still affected them, and not all were merely skin deep.
You wanna do what, Lily? Like, this is heaven we're talking about, girl. They're fucking ruthless. I mean, take it from us. We fought them once, and I think I speak for everyone when I say we don't want to make that mistake again.
Leviathan winced. Everyone but Satan, he muttered under his breath, but nobody seemed to hear him.
Lily, I know you want revenge. Trust me, I would too in your scenario. If anything happened to my fizz...
He clenched a smoldering fist of pinkish flame, and a hard expression crossed his features for a moment.
I don't even want to think about it, but this won't solve anything. We can't avenge Lucifer by pointlessly throwing ourselves at the exorcists and angels. He wouldn't want us to die for him needlessly like that.
Lilith was surprised to hear Fizz mentioned, though she took it in stride and didn't let it show on her face, pressing forward with her point. Had Ozzy gone soft and taken up a monogamous lover? He'd only just started dating that little imp before she'd left, a stretchy, cute little thing that seemed to be completely enamored with him. Ozzy had always been a free love kind of guy. She wondered what had changed in her absence, but those were questions for later.
We know now, with the right weapons and the right training, angels can be killed. My daughter apparently did it on extermination day. They put up a good fight, but they didn't win. Charlie is no soldier, though. With a true leader, it could be different.
Lilith continued, brushing aside the misgivings of the other elder demons. Leviathan smiled.
It's a tall order, but I'm sure that, for Lucifer's memory, I could rise to the...
Not you, Leviathan,
Lilith said dismissively, her expression never displaying how much she enjoyed the caged rage on his face at once again being shot down.
Satan, I'm sure, is more than equal to the challenge of building up the neglected legions, she said with a smile, remembering the huge, powerfully built warmonger and his constantly blazing desire for battle. To convince him would be no trouble at all. Simply stoke his pride and dangle the promise of a rematch with that blowhard Michael in front of his nose, and the Prince of Wrath would be hers.
He'll want power for himself. He's always wanted to conquer heaven. He would never submit to be second to a different ruler. I'm not sure he even would have stayed loyal to Lucifer if the pact hadn't demanded it.
Ozzy objected. Leave him to me, Lilith said confidently.
I'll go to him and Mammon and Belphegor.
They won't listen,
Ozzy started doubtfully, but Lilith's confidence was unshakable.
Then I'll make them listen. Don't forget, I've known all of you a very, very long time. I know how quarrelsome you are, but we all have one thing in common. We loved Lucifer, and we won't let his death break us. He was my angel, and in his memory, we should all stand together. He will not die in vain.
The Archtemptress's tone brooked no argument, and only a few moments after she finished her sentence, the Hellhound girl came back with their drinks. They all took up their cups, and Lilith raised hers in toast.
To Lucifer, a beloved husband, she said, choking back a performative crack of emotion in her voice.
And the best brother a fallen angel could ask for,
Ozzy added. Beelzebub and Leviathan cheered their agreement, though the latter still looked rather irritated that Lilith had essentially hijacked his carefully planned meeting. The temptress reminded herself that she would have to think about keeping him from causing trouble as she took a sip of her remarkably delicious cocktail. They drank well into the night, and after a while, even Leviathan seemed to have a bit of fun. By the time Lilith left the bar, they'd all given their blessings to her plan, just as she knew they would. They may have private doubts, but they would do as she wished, just as Lucifer had. As Lilith said her goodbyes, trading air kisses with Bee, waving over her shoulder at Ozzy and Leviathan, she kept the venom from her eyes until the moment she left the club. Then, as she stepped out and onto the streets of lust, she began to laugh. Before she knew it, she was giggling like a schoolgirl.
It was all coming together. She knew exactly how to play them off each other. Tonight alone had been child's play. None would ever agree on which one of them should ascend the throne, and so all Lilith needed to do was ensure that she would make a perfect, neutral choice. They would put their support behind her, each one believing that it was the best choice for all of them, each one ignorant of the fact that she had pulled the strings to make it so. Soon she would have an army behind her, and between that and her silver tongue, it would be effortless to take the throne from her daughter as simply as she had taken toys from her hand as a child. She did love Charlie, much in the same way she'd loved Lucifer, as a pretty little plaything, for her to indulge and enjoy experiences with, and when Lilith took the throne, she wouldn't hurt her daughter, of course. Not physically. But her girl would learn her place, and who was really in charge. And if she resisted, well, there were many enjoyable and exhilarating activities she could partake in with the sweet girl, without Lucifer there to object. Perhaps a little teenage rebellion wouldn't be so unwelcome, actually. Pushing that thought to the back of her mind, she licked her lips. Something to contemplate later, to be sure. She would go to Satan next, or maybe Mammon, but she could decide that tomorrow. She'd had a long night of success, and after all that work, she certainly deserved to be rewarded. Singing a low, sultry note out into the night air, it wasn't long before she had an entourage of bewitched Hellborn at her back, eager to have an unforgettable night of sensation with the first, and most debauched of sinners. With a wild look in her eye and a grin of naked lust, she drew them all into an alley, and with a mere sing-song suggestion of desire and a few hurried moments of ripping off clothing, the entire crowd devolved into a messy, noisy orgy. Lilith picked the most impressive of the males and females, a large, well-built dealmaker with a great white's head and a very well-endowed imp woman whose country accent told her rural Rathborn heritage even more than her work-worn overalls, and took her own pleasure. As she bent over and presented herself to the sharky Hellborn, taking one of the imp's fat tits in her mouth and sucking till she heard a gasp, she sighed. It was good to be the queen.